This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey boo, it's me, Roz. Today we are talking all about Hollywood ghosts, pretty much my favorite topic in the entire world, and we'll be talking with Lori Jacobson, and I cannot wait to share that with you. But you know what I haven't done in a while, and I'm so sorry about this, is I haven't been reading a ton of listener stories that have been submitted to me via five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts, and I was checking the five-star ratings and the reviews, and you guys are so nice, and I really appreciate that, and it really helps out the show, so keep them coming. And there was a ghost story in there from Cass Villar, and this is spooky. Cass writes, "When I was younger, I absolutely hated going to sleep because I would always be woken up by the strangest things in the middle of the night. Sometimes there would be a shadow figure sitting on a chair in the corner of my room, and if it would catch me staring, it would begin to approach me really slowly. Other times, I would become paralyzed and see faces and hands start to reach out of the walls trying to grab me. During this time, I was still sharing a room with my parents, so whenever I would start to see things, I would try and scream out to them, but I never could. The only thing that would keep these shadows away was by praying, and each time that I prayed, a pair of soft blue/white hands would wrap around me and start to pray as well. I could hear whatever it was speak in a different language, but I remember thinking it sounded so pretty. It was the only thing that could break me out of my paralysis and let me run to my parents. Years later, when we finally moved out, they began to remodel the floorings of my room. As they stripped away the carpet, it was discovered that under my bed was a cemented safe built in the floor that we never knew about. People would come and see if they could open the safe, but no one ever could. In the end, it was just decided to put wood flooring over the safe and leave it as is. I haven't seen that shadow figure since then. What is in the safe? What is in the safe? Thank you, Cass Villar, so much for sending that review. I was also thinking when they mentioned the blue/white hands that would pray with you. Now, I'm not a big prayer necessarily, but I bought these praying hands at a thrift store. It's like they're blue and white, kind of tinted, and they're like 3D like praying hands that are like a wall art thing. And I went out and I bought some long fingernails and I painted them pink and I glued those right on those little fingers as they're praying. And they're gorgeous and they're in my home. And that reminds me, because I'm gonna do maybe two videos the next few weeks of me giving a little tour of the weird things like that that I have in my home. And so on Patreon this week, you will see a little tour of my living room and my Christmas tree and all the weird, funky things that I have in my home. I have a chair that's shaped like a hand. I have a coffee table that is shaped like two papier-mâché seals that came complete with fishing line whiskers. I don't know. I found it at a flea market. I have weird stuff and it's fun and I'd love to show you. So go to patreon.com/rozdressfiles. So today, Lori Jacobson. I am so happy to talk to her. So I've known about Lori Jacobson for a while now because since as long as I can remember, I have always watched TV shows, documentaries about spooky Hollywood history, scandalous Hollywood history. And Lori is one of those people that if you want someone that's got the juicy tea about some kind of ghost in an old movie studio, you call Lori Jacobson. She wrote a book in the 90s called Hollywood Haunted, and she just knows her stuff. I mean, she's a historian, and you know, anytime I have on a historian or a paranormal investigator or somebody that has had years and years of, I mean, decades of experience and has dedicated their lives to these things, it's kind of, it's almost like harder to do like a hour-long podcast with them because there's just so much to talk about. So I 100% am looking forward to having her come back because we just hit the tip of the iceberg. And also we had a little bit of a time constraint. So we only talked about a couple of things, but she's a great storyteller and she brought it. Some of the things that we talk about on the show for reference, if you're new around here, welcome. We did reference some old episodes, David Omen, which was early on in the podcast. It's still posted. He's the man that lives in the incredibly haunted house that is near the site of the Manson murders, but it's also just incredibly haunted by who knows how many ghosts that just come in and out of that house. They say it's a portal to the other side. It's crazy. And then we also reference my friend Justin Martindale, who is a comedian and works at the Comedy Store. And so we talk about the Comedy Store ghosts. And we reference when she was on Unsolved Mysteries, like the old Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. And they did an episode at the Comedy Store. And I actually found it on Amazon Prime. It was just streaming. So when's the last time you watched that show? Have you ever watched that show? It is so fun. And you know, I like to watch it. You know, I have like old paranormal books and I like to watch these old paranormal shows. But sometimes here's what I do. I watch those things and then I look up like what has happened since then. Because, you know, you can't just like, you got to update your facts at times. So I like to go back and watch these old, 80s, early 90s Unsolved Mystery episodes. And they're so fun. They've got great reenactments. And then on Patreon this week, my bonus clip with her is we talk about the haunting of Ozzie Nelson. We talked about this earlier this year, maybe in the springtime, maybe early pandemic time. We talked about the actor Christopher Maloney is selling his house and it's haunted and it used to belong to Ozzie and Harriet Nelson, who the two of them, you know, they had this real famous TV show back in like 50s, 60s, a clean cut family, kind of Leave It to Beaver almost. Not going to lie, never seen it. Don't know much about that. But I do know that he's a famous ghost here in Hollywood and she knows all the details about it. And so we get into that. And that is on my second tier on Patreon, patreon.com/rozdressfiles. All right, let's talk some Hollywood ghosts with Lori Jacobson. On with the show. Hello, Lori. How are you?
I am great, Roz. How are you doing?
I am so good. And I was just talking with my producer, Land. We're like starstruck talking to you because both of us like love Hollywood history so much. I mean, we're both here in Hollywood and we loved the TV show Ease Mysteries and Scandals. which I know you were a part of. You're in that incredible Sunset Strip documentary, which I think is so beautiful. And
yes, I loved that. I love the, you know, you're in something, you never know how it's going to be, but I just thought it came out so great.
It was so wonderful. And you just have like the best insight. You know, all the juicy and the spooky, and that's the part of Hollywood that I'm always so into.
Well, that's, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You were any better than what really happened.
Exactly. And there's so many just like only in Hollywood, you know, like I was watching the Unsolved Mysteries that you were on. I was rewatching it because I was like,
oh my goodness,
I'm going to go talk to Lori and I need to know what I'm talking about here, because I know I've seen that. It's been years since I saw that original. And we're talking the original Unsolved Mysteries, not the one on Netflix, which is great, but the original Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries. They did one about the Comedy Store. And I had my friend Justin on, Justin Martindale, who's a regular at the Comedy Store. And we talked about that episode, but it had been kind of like a couple years since we'd seen it. So I watched it last night. And you were a waitress there?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was doing, I was in a fantastic comedy improv workshop for about 7 years. And it was run by a wonderful character actor named Harvey Lembeck, who played Eric Von Zipper in all the Beach movies. And you'd know him if you saw him. And, you know, my classmates were Robin Williams and John Ritter and John LaRoquette.
Wow.
And it was an amazing time and a fantastic experience. And so, you know, the Comedy Store was the perfect place for me to work a side job and learn more about comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I expect to learn more about ghosts.
Now, what era was this?
I worked there in 1981 and into 1982.
Wow. So that was like a real big time at the Comedy Store.
You know, it was absolutely the golden age. I mean, the list of people that perform there nightly, you know, are now... it was Seinfeld and Leno and Arsenio Hall and Gary Shandling and Sandra Bernhardt and I could just go on and on with famous names. Mm-hmm. And not all of them were famous yet. And also during that time, Richard Pryor was there every night preparing for his documentary, Live on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
And he brought in the people that came in to see him nightly, you know, Mick Jagger, Bette Midler, Sugar Ray Leonard, John McEnroe. It really, it ran the, oh, Peter O'Toole. That was my most thrilling night.
It's so cool to hear you talk about this because, you know, I think my goal is to be you because you know, they say that there's like a second comedy boom that's happened the past, you know, over the past 10 years or so. And my last job was being a door person at the Improv. And so I feel like I got to, you know, a lot of people that maybe in like 20 years or so, I'll be like, these legends I got to know, you know, before they were, you know, big deals. But that place is not nearly as haunted as the Comedy Store.
No, I went to the Improv quite a bit because back in the 80s, they had a bar mm-hmm. and a room you could hang out in. And the Comedy Store did not have that at that time. You were either in the room watching performers or waiting outside to get in. It's only fairly recently that they added a bar outside where you could hang out. So we often hung at the Improv and I never heard one ghost story about that place.
Yeah, it's very interesting because once I worked there, I started, cause, you know, I kind of get my vibes from ghosts and I was getting slight vibes, you know, like not full on there's a ghost here, but just like, what's going on? I'm feeling something. And then I talked to more people, and I actually did an episode about it on this podcast as well with the general manager there. And she's had all these experiences. So it's like there's ghosts there, but they're just sort of like, I don't know how that works, but the ghosts of the Improv are just, they're maybe more shy. They're not that interested in like being ghosts. They're like, yeah, it's like a part-time job. That's what it is. They're
There is a really interesting history there. Back in the 60s, it was a folk club.
Mm-hmm. The Ash Grove.
Yes, the Ash Grove. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. The Ash Grove. And then, you know, there's some history of a fire.
Yes. Well, I believe that fire took place around that time of the comedy strike and the comedy store and all this. Hmm. There's that book, I'm Dying Up Here, which is a lot about the 70s comedy, that whole comedy boom in that era. I believe that's when the fire took place. I don't know.
You know, it doesn't have to be the building or the history of the building. It can be, you know, a ghost can be attached to that property from, you know, something that happened 100 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, there's so many ways. It's like one could come back, or like, you know, it could be somebody that used to perform there all the time and they feel very connected to that place. I feel like you hear that a lot in Hollywood. You hear about these celebrity ghosts that just love, like Marilyn Monroe. She's in 75 places. You know, she loved hanging out at this pool at the Roosevelt. You see her there. She loved hanging out at this hotel. Like she's all over the place. And I don't know, maybe it's because she just felt a connection to those places. I'm not really sure.
Part of it is that, and part of it, I think, is her enormous popularity. You know, people don't stop thinking about her. Like, remember all the Elvis sightings that happened after Elvis died? You know, when you've got millions of people thinking about you, it is a very strong pull. Mm-hmm. And even though they may not necessarily want to continue hanging out around here,
right?
When millions of people wish they could see you, be near you, go to places you went to, and they're thinking of you, you can be held here against your will, literally.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is.
And like, you know, even with like Elvis, it's like he'll appear in a piece of toast or something, according to some people. He's like, just let me sleep. God. Well, let's go back to the comedy store for a second.
Okay.
The history. Can you tell us the history from, can I hear it from like world-renowned Hollywood historian Laurie Jacobson?
Absolutely. Well, what I loved about it was that it used to be Ciro's nightclub, which was the most popular, most glamorous club during Hollywood's golden age. And, you know, located on the heart of the Sunset Strip, walking distance to the Trocadero and the Macambo. So that two-block area was just so star-studded. But Ciro's was the one. And when a club is that popular and making that much money, the mob often gets very interested and wants some of that money.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some rather infamous types that hung out there. Mickey Cohn was a LA gangster known as the King of the Sunset Strip. He had a haberdashery on the strip just beyond what is now Book Soup.
Oh, sure.
Right where, you know where I mean? Right where that little catty corner from, what used to be Tower Records.
Yes.
And that was merely a front for his nefarious doings. There was actually a shootout there where they, a drive-by shooting where they riddled his store with a Tommy gun. But fortunately, Nikki was in the bathroom at the time and missed all the excitement. But what he did was to send, and this story was told to me by the producer, George Schlatter, who produced Laugh-In.
Mm-hmm.
George booked the acts at Ciro's in the early 50s. And he said once a week, they would get a hat box from Mickey Cohn's Haberdashery with instructions to simply fill this with money and send it back. So the cops saw hat boxes going in and out of the store and in and out of Cohen's store, but they could never prove anything unless they stopped the deliveries, which they, I guess, legally they could not do. So that's how Mickey got his money out of the store.
Mm.
But men in wide lapel pinstripe suits were often seen at the Comedy Store, going in and out of the offices. And at one point, I was giving an interview there about the ghosts of the store. And I had a parapsychologist, a very renowned parapsychologist, with me. And he was watching these men watch us give the interview. You know, there were daytime employees there walking through. And he thought nothing of it. But then they just vaporized in front of him.
Oh my
and
God.
He realized that they were standing where a booth was, and you can't stand in a booth. And then he realized they were wearing those suits and just watching with curiosity as I talked about them, but couldn't see them.
That's so interesting. Yeah, because that's what I've heard even from my friend Justin that was on the show. He told me that the person that he saw seemed kind of 1940s, had a hat on and in a suit. And it seems to be there's a number of those kinds of ghosts there.
Yes, we would hear, they obviously when there are, when the place is filled with 200 people, you don't see anything and you can't feel the energy. But after 2 o'clock, when the club closed and we were cleaning up, is when all of the stuff happened. And we would hear women talking in the bathroom, in the ladies' room after the club was closed, using 40s lingo, that heel two times me, and we'd go in to tell them, hey, sorry, the club is closed and there wouldn't be anyone in there. But I loved that sometimes these very mysterious things happened, like we would clean up a room and we would go back in and a spotlight would be shining on the piano. And on top of the piano were two martini glasses that the club didn't have.
Whoa.
It was from a different style. And they would be, just really, I loved that. I just, I'm a Hollywood historian and I felt like the history was really coming alive, while I was there.
Yeah.
And they were critics as well. Sam Kinison was at the club during that time, and they hated him. They hated his act. He screamed a lot.
I mean, it's not very 40s, 50s style.
No, and they just hated it. And whenever he would come on, the sound would go out or the lights would go out. They did whatever they could do to prevent him from going on. And one night he was on in the original room, which is the smaller room. and some people were sitting in the main room next door, and they heard this buzzing, buzzum, buzzum, buzzum. And they thought, what the hell is that noise? And it slowed down, and they could hear people moaning, it's him, it's him. And just, you know, complaining. At one time, Sam challenged them, you know, if you're really here, come out. And like ashtrays flew across the room and smashed against the wall behind him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So when you started working there, were you a believer in ghosts? Were you interested in ghosts?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was always that kid at camp around the campfire that wanted to hear the spooky stories.
Same.
And I read a lot of books, and I was always fascinated. You know, just, I mean, and then, you know, I mean, heck, Abraham Lincoln is, you know, appearing at the White House, and you've got all these people saying they saw him. He was captured in a photo, I think, by Margaret Bourke White, a very famous photographer. You know, so I was always sure that they existed. But I didn't know exactly what held them here or why they were around until I really dove into it all.
So do you have a pretty good idea? Like, do you have a belief of, for example, why Hollywood is so haunted?
Well, very dramatic things happened in Hollywood. You've got a whole community of people that don't want to be forgotten. And that kind of makes sense. But you've also got unsolved murders, suicides, people that died tragically before their time. And All of that is great fodder for ghosts.
Yeah, I always think it's a lot of unsolved or a lot of unfinished business here in Hollywood. A lot of people came here for a reason. They wanted to achieve that, and then they died before they achieved that. And now they still have that goal, which kind of keeps them around. I think that might be one of the reasons. And then also not only do they want to be remembered, but they're people that like to be seen. They like to perform. You know, not all ghosts, but, you know, a lot of the famous people ghosts or the aspiring famous people ghosts.
Yes, I agree.
So do you have like a favorite Hollywood haunted hotspot?
Well, one story that I covered with the aforementioned parapsychologist. His name is Barry Taff.
Oh, of course.
T-A-F-F.
Now, that's another person that was in so many documentaries that I watched like throughout the 90s and 2000s. I need to have him on.
Yes. Yes. He's fascinating. And the most outstanding case that he ever worked on was in the Hollywood Hills, near Beechwood Canyon, which is also really haunted.
Yes.
And I lived in that canyon for decades and loved it. But this one particular house had so much activity. It was just outrageous. He'd never seen anything like it. So a friend of his had gone to a party there and told Barry, you have got to go. And Barry made arrangements to go. The man who was living there was preparing to move out. He had lived there 7 years, and the activity had escalated so much during those 7 years that he couldn't take it anymore. So, you know, Barry is there, and several other people are there, and like a woman is there, and she said something that apparently the spirit did not like, and a chair moved across the floor, pinned her to a wall. A tea kettle came from out of the kitchen, floating in the air, and dumped water all over her.
Oh my God.
A man started laughing at that, and a shoe flew from around the corner and hit him in the head.
Wow.
A fire broke out in a waste basket in the bathroom. Books were flying out of shelves across the room. At one point, and forget about the electricity and the doors, you know, doors opening and closing, locking behind you. Barry brought a film crew in there at one point, and every time they plugged their equipment into the wall, that particular outlet would fail. All the others would be working, but, you know, it wouldn't allow these people to use the electricity in the house. The reporter, Connie Fox was her name, just thought, all these things are on strings, you've got this all rigged. And with that, an enormous atlas lifted off a stand open and was flapping its pages like a bird, and chased her out of the house down a Z-shaped staircase as she's screaming the whole time. And the book is making the turns and staying on her tail. I mean, Barry really had never seen anything like this in his life. They brought in a priest. They brought in a priest to bless the house. And the moment he entered, his hat apported to an inaccessible area of the roof. And when he got out his holy water, the bottle exploded.
Oh my God.
So, you know, a cook was in the kitchen trying to prepare food for all these guests. And he took a butcher knife to cut open a head of cabbage, and the cabbage with the knife in it chased him out of the house. So the man who owned the house moved out, couldn't take it.
And
before the new owner moved in, Barry asked if he could stay there by himself. And he stayed there for 9 days and nights. And actually, many of his experiences during those 9 days are used in the film Poltergeist.
Mm. Well, it definitely is a Poltergeist.
Yes. Well, you know, and in bed one night, a lady joined him in bed and spooned him, and he could smell her perfume.
Oh, my God.
He would prepare a drink for himself, a soft drink, and turn back to shut the refrigerator, and the drink was gone. And then he found it 2 days later behind some locked doors in another room. He met the gentleman who lived next door, who was also experiencing all these things in his house, and he led Barry to a secret compartment in his house next door. Now, these houses were built in 1924, but in this secret compartment, it led to a series of tunnels that led up the hill, and in the tunnel they found a grave of a woman, and it was it had the date 1922 on it.
Wow.
And a first name. So she came before the house. Now, is she the woman Barry feels in the house? So we made guesses. There were often tunnels during Prohibition where, people kept stills and things. Mm-hmm. But there was also a nearby monastery in the hills. And people have seen lines of monks chanting and walking up the hills to the monastery. And, we wondered if one of the monks, knocked this woman up.
Oh, wow.
And did away with her. I mean, we just don't know. So now, years and years later, the house had been completely renovated, and Barry took me there. And the man who owned it was in the women's clothing business. And he had posters of models modeling the clothing that he sold in all of the bedrooms. And all these male parapsychologists are running around with their equipment, on the outside of the house. I'm registering this and that. But me, I'm walking through the house by myself. And I feel a spirit intensely as I'm coming up the stairs and in the area in front of the stairs. But every time I go into a bedroom where there's a picture of a woman, I feel nothing. So I go into the only room where there is no picture of a woman, and I am overwhelmed with the feeling of a spirit. And I call all the male parapsychologists. They all come running up with their equipment, and suddenly the chandelier starts oscillating, in a circle. It wasn't swinging back and forth like somebody knocked it. It was moving in a circular way that we could not have done. And then we saw light, globes of light that were showing up in photos that everyone was taking. And I suggested that they bring a photo of one of these women into the room. And she did not think that was funny. The ghost of this woman did not think that was funny. And all activity ceased. And we all felt like we had made a mistake. So she was very angry about other women being present. However, I was the only woman there, and she did reveal herself to me.
Did the guy that had moved in, the second owner, did he figure that one out? Did he, how did he know that with the photos of the women?
I think he just had them there because, he had, because they were his product. He was selling. But
he was having crazy experiences as well?
Yes, yes.
Because it sounds there might even be more than just the woman. I mean, with holy water exploding, and that sounds like a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, that was the most remarkable case that Barry had ever worked on. So that was pretty crazy time.
Also, I always think about, they say that Benedict Canyon is cursed or, has a long history of crazy bad things happening and the spiritual aftermath. Have you ever heard of, do you know David Omen or the Omen House? Have you ever?
Oh, yes, I know David.
Yes. I've been there a couple of times, and he came on this podcast, and that is an interesting property. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have.
Did anything paranormal happen?
And I went with Barry.
Oh yeah.
And I went with my husband, who, by the way, was Timmy on Lassie.
Oh yes, I was reading that online. Oh my God, that's amazing.
I know. So he gets dragged to these crazy, you know, places that I go to. And he got such a tremendous headache there. He couldn't be inside. Same with Barry. Barry was actually hospitalized after his last visit there and vowed never to return. I didn't have that experience. I felt, when I feel the presence of a ghost, I feel tremendous pressure on my head, like I'm underwater. Mm-hmm. And I did feel that there. I was with Barry one day there, and we were holding a compass, and we could not get a reading. It spun around like, it just kept spinning around. We couldn't, and I said to Barry, what the hell does that mean? And he said it meant that whatever is here is stronger than the magnetic pull of the earth.
Yeah, because that's what they say. I mean, I think it was Barry Tapp that did so much research to realize that something to do with the magnetic, it's like a magnetic anomaly or something, that specific
yes.
area where that house is. So the energy is just incredible. And for anyone listening to this that doesn't know what we're talking about, you can go back and listen to when I had David Omen on, but he lives in a house that's like, I don't know, two or three doors down from where Sharon Tate's house was, where her and her friends were murdered terribly. But just also, it's that house seems to be, he says, kind of a portal, you know, a flop house for ghosts that just come through all the time. And it's just all kinds of ghosts there.
Yeah, the whole block has felt it. And the whole block has seen Jay Sebring, which I find, you know, very sad.
Yeah.
But I think Jay's okay now. I think he's, you know, I think he's doing fine now.
Do you want to listen to some ghost voices?
Sure.
Okay, we have a little segment here. It's time for
EVPs.
Or Evie, please.
So what I do is I go to YouTube and I find EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, and I like to listen to them, have my guess what the researcher that posted believes that the ghost is saying, or what you hear. Just let me know what you think. This first one is from... It was posted by Ghost Watch Paranormal on YouTube, and it's at the Vogue Theater in Hollywood. Do you know the history of that place?
Yes.
Who can you tell us?
Yes. School that burned down, death happened. Maybe children and... occupants of the school is what I'm told.
Yeah. Like 1800s, it was a schoolhouse, burns down. I think like 25 children or something apparently died, and their teacher died. And then it became this movie theater. And I know at one point, I don't know if you would know about this, but I guess what I was reading online is that in the 90s, it was a headquarters for a paranormal research society, and they were doing all kinds of stuff there. I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought that guy was a fraud.
Oh, okay.
That was my opinion.
Got it.
You know, there was a point where you know, you could make a lot of money from paranormal activity and bringing tours in there. You know, it was just when it was all beginning and people were all excited and there wasn't a paranormal show every time you turn the channel. Yeah. And I just felt like he was capitalizing on that phenomenon.
Got it. Well, what I was reading online, I was like, what? It said, okay, this website I went to, totally-la.com, they said over 4,000 people have claimed to see ghosts there, and there was an entire audience of over 600 people that saw a ghost girl skipping down the aisles. I mean, it's possible. Anyway, let's hear a ghost voice from there. And this is from a spirit box, so it's going to be a little bit of staticky kind of noise in the background. But what do you think this ghost is saying? Okay, it's kind of like a high pitch. Here, I'll play it again. Do you hear? Mm. Do you hear anything? It's like a na na na.
Yeah, I could never guess.
Well, here, I'll give you some options.
Help or.
Here, I'll give you four options, and it's one of these is what they believe.
Okay.
Is it A, at least I'm not you? Ooh, that's shady. That's a shady ghost. Is it B, I'm Lisa? Is it C, unleash me? Or D, I'll lease it first? Maybe, you know, they didn't want to buy a car. They thought they'd lease it first. I don't know. Here, I'll play it again.
Hmm. I honestly can't tell. It's so brief.
I would have
to guess I'm Lisa.
That's what they believe. Yes, it's Lisa. Now, I don't know who Lisa was. Maybe she was one of those poor little students, or I'm not sure. Here, I'll play it again. I'm Lisa. I can kind of hear it. I can hear it.
And then again, though, you know, was Lisa even a name back in the 1800s?
Oh, interesting.
You know, because that isn't that like short for Elizabeth? And I don't know if they, I don't ever recall, you know, seeing anyone on the Rifleman named Lisa. Lisa.
Yeah.
So, you know, but like I said, it could be, you know, from any time.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. But that theater, I've never been inside of it, but I don't know if there's anything going on there right now. But God, I'm afraid that movie theater, I hope that movie theaters survive all this craziness that we're dealing with. Because it's so sad to see like these historic old theaters that have not been movie theaters for so long. And then, you know, now we have like the AMCs and all these other giant movie theaters that I'm rooting for.
Yes. Yes.
Not to bring it down. Okay. Here's one more EVP. And this EVP, for the first time in Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles history, was one that I recorded myself.
Ooh.
Okay. So I've been doing this thing on Patreon where I've been basically doing real light ghost hunting where I just go with my dog to different haunted places that I can go to. You know, I went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and this EVP, I believe I captured. I got at the old zoo at Griffith Park, and I posted the video. I showed it to a couple of friends. I was in, have you been to the old zoo at Griffith Park?
Oh, if I have, it's been like 35 years. So
yeah, it's like this, you know, cool old, used to be a zoo, and now they still have like the polar bear enclosures, and you can kind of just walk around them a little bit, and there's tons of graffiti and stuff all over them. But they say it's haunted by animals, by all kinds of crazy things that have happened in Griffith Park. And so I was like recording, and I heard what, there was nobody else in there. I heard somebody whisper, and this is it. It might be hard to hear. It might be an Eevee, please, but tell me if you hear anything. All right. It's kind of quiet. It's like loud noise. Okay. It's like a... God, man, man. Wait, one more time. I'm trying to prove that I'm not insane. Do you hear anything?
I could hear something, and it sounds like activity also.
There were human beings not far away, maybe 30 yards back, but this was like in a cave, especially if you watch the video. It's like right next to me. Okay.
Wow.
I'll give you some options of what I think the ghost could say, and I'll let you guess which one I think it is.
Okay.
Is it A? Oh my God, I love your podcast. B, come here. C, give me your energy. Or D, come play with us. Here, I'll play it again.
Well, it's got to be I love your podcast.
I don't know what it says, to be honest, but it sounds like a come over here or come play. I hear like a come. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to be one of these cool people on YouTube that has EVPs, but maybe one day.
You know, I remember, do you remember Tom Snyder? I don't know how old you are, Roz, and I'm not going to ask. But there
somewhere
was
between 20 and 75.
Okay. Well, then you may remember a late night show that would come on, I guess, probably after Johnny Carson, called The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder.
Okay.
And this is so long ago, and he had a gentleman on who was doing EVPs before we even had a name for it. I know it was the first time I had ever heard of it. And we've got to be talking. Well, let's see. It was shortly after Dan Blocker had passed away very unexpectedly. One of the stars of Bonanza died on the operating table. And it was very shocking. And he had a recording, very clear, of Dan Blocker. I can't remember what he said now, but he identified himself. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of anybody trying to capture that. And so that always stayed with me. So when people started doing it, I mean, I'm really a believer. And that story with Mr. Blocker would totally make sense to me. He died tragically before his time. He wasn't ready to go, just like Ozzy, just like Honest Abe. They still had things they wanted to accomplish, and that is a strong reason for, you know, here's my theory. Spirits were once human. There are animal spirits, but spirits were once human, and they stick around for very human reasons. They weren't ready. They were murdered, and it was written off as something else, or it was never solved, and they want justice or the truth to come out. You know, they sometimes don't stay forever, but there's an event, a child's wedding that they want to be there. And how many people say, oh, I felt my dad was there? Mm-hmm. Well, he was, you know, and so sometimes it can be a really beautiful thing. Often, very often, the spirits of children are seen and heard because they died before death was really explained to them. And they can see you. They don't realize they're supposed to go on somewhere. And they can see you and they can hear you, and they don't really understand that you can't always see and hear them. And so they're just being playful.
Now, do you think that there are instances where ghosts don't want to, like they're just enjoying being a ghost and they wanted to stick around?
Yes. I think there's some that just, they've stayed so long that they have no interest in moving forward.
Yeah. And they might be, it's probably because they're afraid or they, you know, it's, they don't know what would happen, you know,
or the place they haunt has become home to them. Mm-hmm. And they're comfortable there. They're comfortable with the people that live there.
Yeah. Well, Lori, that's about it. You're somebody that I hope that you'll come back sometime because there are so many things to talk to you about with. I mean, you know, so many incredible things, which is why you've written so many books. Can you tell people about, you know, your books and where to find them and all that stuff?
Well, sure. The book that led you to me is called Hollywood Haunted. And it was in print for 19 years and is now available as an ebook on Amazon. And I've got a really fun book called Dishing Hollywood, which is scandals and mysteries with a recipe attached to each one.
Fun.
And my current book, which just came out a few months ago, is called TV Dinners. You know, my husband, as I mentioned, was a child star of the 50s and 60s. And so I gathered 40 of his fabulous friends together to tell their stories and what it was like to be a working kid in Hollywood during the golden age of television. And what they ate for dinner.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you, Lori Jacobson. I love that. And if you want to hear us talking about the haunting of Ozzie Nelson, the spooky haunted house here in Hollywood that may still be up for sale, I'm not sure, you can listen to us talking on Patreon.com/RozDressFiles. And this week, you can also see the tour of my funky, fun living room. And of course, all of the other things that have been posted the past like 3 months or so. Thank you for the 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Please keep them coming. Go to Apple Podcasts, 5-star review, 5-star rating. If you have a ghost story, leave it in one of those reviews. And I want to do another listener episode soon, so please send me your listener stories to ghostedbyroz@gmail.com with the subject line, listener episode. Oh, I've got my merchandise. I've got the tote bags, the pins. The pins are back in the store. They already sold out. Thank you. The Evie Please pins are in the store. I also have my t-shirts, the tote bags, all that fun stuff you can find in the link in my Instagram bio or in the Facebook group called Ghosted by Roz Dressfiles. And I'm on Cameo, so if you want me to say hello, happy holidays to someone you love, that's cameo.com/RozDressFiles. I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.